What's up, y'all? It's your girl Samantha, and this is my podcast, Naturalize. So, yesterday I shot what I thought was the last episode of this marriage series, but then I remembered that it was something important I needed to talk about that I had left off, and I didn't want to not include it because I felt like it's very very pertinent and very important. For not just people who are in a marriage, but people who maybe pursue a marriage. And so I didn't want to not do this episode. So this week you'll get this episode. And then next week you'll get the episode that I thought was the last episode, which will be the last episode. But this one ended up coming before that one. So yeah. I'm whispering a little bit because my kids are asleep, and so I want them to stay asleep. Shout out to me. I was able to sleep train Summer. I took some time last week and allowed her to start having her own space in her own bed. And so it's been such a breeze now because we got over that little hump, which really didn't last long, believe it or not. I have been praying for God to give me the strength and the patience to not get frustrated, even though I knew I would lack sleep, but for me to not get impatient with her and, you know, to be ill and, you know, because it was something we both was getting used to and we both were learning. And I had originally tried to sleep train her some months back or whatever, but it's been a lot dealing with this marriage stuff, so I've just not been in the best headspace to be without sleep and to continue to go through the things I'm going through. It was going good for a little bit, the sleep training, and then it just stopped and I just didn't pursue it anymore. So here I am. So that's a win. Pat on the back. Shout out to me for thugging it out and sticking with it. But even little stuff like that just goes to show me that it's God's timing. I wasn't ready back then. And look how now, because I'm mentally better and because I'm in a better place physically, to where I don't have to, you know, survive. Basically, I'm not in survival mode anymore. And overall, I'm better. So I was able to do something that I thought was going to be so hard. It came so easily because God has me in a better place for me to do that. And it's just little things that God does that shows me at the right time, God will make it right. But like I said, I wanted to get up here real quick and shoot this episode. Not really sure if this one will be an hour, but I just wanted to get up here because I was talking to my homegirl Kayla the other day, and we were talking about like marriage, but not even just that. I was just telling her how the enemy is just after marriage, right? Like, that's his goal. And he hates marriage because he knows God honors marriage. And he is after marriage. If you think you're already going through a lot in your own life with your own calling as an individual, just wait till you're getting in a covenant with somebody else. It's like you can't catch a break. It's literally like the front door, the back door, the window, the ceiling, the floor. Like, it's coming every which way. And it's because he desires for marriage to not be a thing. When you sit and think about the, like, homes in general, you know, he loves children out of wedlock. He loves girlfriend and boyfriend. He loves stuff like that because you're not technically in union. You know, you're not one until you're married. And look at my situation, you know, like, I had kids out of wedlock, not married, and it caused a lot of frustration in my life and a lot of issues that I could have avoided if I would have been married at the time. And I know a lot of people be like, well, married people do stuff too. We're not talking about just anybody just being married. We're talking about covenant marriages that God has ordained. Just because people marry don't mean they with the person that God has ordained for them to be with. So that itself is confusion. Okay, it started off with confusion. They didn't include God in that stuff. So it's going to produce confusion. But I'm talking about the marriages that God has ordained and said is one, right? Those marriages, even if they do have some problems or whatever the case may be, you have followed the necessary steps to doing it God's way. And it just allows you to skip over things that people who are not in that union have to go through. You know, like the enemy loves children out of wedlock, because now most children who are born out of wedlock come eventually start living in single parent households. Most of them, you know, the mother is either absent or the father is either absent. And a lot of the times it's unfortunate that the parents don't get along and the children are affected. And so that right there just go, the enemy loves that, because the moment your foundation is shaky, he has more leverage to have his way. So when it's like that in a family dynamic, for example, me, when I didn't have my mother in the house and her and my father wasn't even on the same type time for me to have a relationship with him for real, because they had their own stuff going on, it eventually damaged me so bad to the point where I was looking for love, looking for things to fill me, to replace the void that I was feeling from my mother. And with that came things that the enemy was able to allow me to latch on to because my foundation was rocky. So he loves stuff like that, because it's more common for people who have children out of wedlock, who people who have not asked if, you know, God, is this my husband, or God, this is my wife. It's more common for those family dynamics to be, you know, shaky and rocky and broken, which again gives the enemy a gateway to enter in early on. And so he loves when we do things like that. And God be like, if you just follow my rules and you just follow what I'm saying, I'm just saying you have a higher chance of avoiding all of this. Like all of this. You don't have to worry about any of that, because you have sought me in every area concerning this. And so I'm going to let you know whether or not this is something you should partake in. And so marriage is something the enemy don't want you to do, because he realizes the power that a marriage holds. Especially, again, we talk about God-ordained marriages. He knows the power that it holds, because think about it. If God is so strategic with who he places you with, I know a lot of y'all don't know me and my husband's marital story, because it's in the book that I have written that I am in the process of getting published. I have been doing the work to find me an agent, so that itself is a job. But keep me in your prayers, and I'm trusting and believing that in God's timing, he will make it right. But, you know, what was I getting at? People don't, you know, I know people don't know our stories or whatever like that, but God is so strategic with how he does things, because he knows who he's placed you with. Like, he knows I want A to be with C and E to be with F, or whatever the case may be. I want her to be with him. And he's so strategic because he knows what he's doing by placing those two together. If God is the author of the beginning, the middle, and the end, trust me, he knows what he's doing, to the point where if he puts you with this person, it was well thought of, well configured, and put together for a specific reason. So it's not like, you know, he just came up with this today. You know, it's something, the Bible literally says, I've known you before I formed you in your mother's womb. If he knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb, that means he knew everything concerning you. So marriage is something he knew, right? But he's so strategic with that, to the point where he places you with the person he wants you to be with, because he knows what he's doing in that marriage. And so the enemy knows the power that that marriage holds, because if God was strategic with how he put y'all together, I have to be strategic with how I try to uproot you. And that's why the enemy does whatever he can, however he can. And the Bible tries to reassure us to let no man separate what God has put together, right? And so he knows the power. He knows. And so he'll try any and everything he can to prevent a marriage from succeeding in the ways that God wants it to succeed. I remember talking to my cousin a few months ago, and she was like, you are on my heart. I hadn't talked to my cousin in a few years. I haven't seen her because I hadn't been able to really go to the family reunions. I haven't really went to the family reunions. I went once after my grandma passed away. And I don't know, I ain't really been back. But she was like, you was on my mind and I wanted to call you because I seen your videos on TikTok. And I just want to say, I'm so proud of you. Like, you come so far, because I love that for me. I love when people be reminding me of where I come from, but they see me now, who I am now. They don't acknowledge who I was to kind of like throw it in my face or to belittle me or make me feel less than or whatever. They simply use it as an analogy to see all that God has done in my life. And so she was like, yeah, I remember yo, like you was young and turnt, you know, like, and so it's just been amazing to see you preaching the gospel and just doing what you're doing and, like, you know, just all in like that. And so I was talking to her and stuff, and she's married. She's been married forever. Like, I say all the time, I'd be like, that's my cousin. She's been married since she was able to get married. But she's such a good person and such a good wife. But she was telling me how, you know, the first 5 years of marriage is hard. And she was like, she had some moments in her marriage where she had to give it back to God, because she was like, God, I just don't know if I can do this. But she had reached her husband had started doing the work that was required for their marriage to get where it was going, and they got over that hump. And so now she sees the light at the end of the tunnel, and she was just trying to encourage me and just letting me know, you know, it's going to be like that sometimes. And she's praying for me, and she understands because she knows what it's like. And she knows what the enemy tries to do. She's going to cry a little bit, but she'll be okay. She'll put herself back to sleep. She knows what the enemy tries to do through marriage. And so she was just encouraging me and just letting me know, you know, you got it. And I know it's rough, but, you know, just keep being you and keep walking in your calling and trust that God will lead you where you got to go. And so God will, what was I getting at? Sorry, y'all. Her crying threw me off a little bit. But all in all, God be strategic with what he do, because the power he know the power that comes from the two people he put together being united. He knows what that power can do, and the enemy does too. And so he'll do anything he can to uproot you from succeeding in your marriage. Hence why he starts, remember when I was just saying, you think you got adversity and you think the enemy is after you when you are individual and when you doing your individual thing as, you know, following God or whatever. As soon as you get married, it's like, it's up, like, he on 1,000. And it's like, back to back to back to back to back. It'd be like, can I catch a break? And I get it, though, because if he tries to get to you early on as a child so that you sleep on your own potential and so you never wake up to becoming who God has called you to be, I would expect him to try to get to you in your marriage early on, because if he can get the foundation rocky early on, then it'll never get stable enough for it to be firm and for it to produce what God had intended for it to produce. So he got to start ASAP, working overtime to get his job done, because if he lets it go on and then he tries to step in, it's not gonna work. Hence why Christ is your firm foundation. And when you stay rooted in Christ, even when the enemy is after you, your foundation to still be solid. You know what I mean? You'll have problems, you'll have moments, but because you are rooted in Christ, the storm may come, but it won't take you out. You know, you'll be able to withstand the things you're facing. Hence why I talk about in the Bible, you know, like being planted, like the tree. It talk about the tree being rooted in Christ, where even when storms come, you're not going to blow over. But some people who not rooted in Christ, they tree going to blow all in the wind. And so the enemy will try to get in early on, because he just doesn't want y'all to get that firm foundation to where you are able to come together and use everything you've been taught, putting both sets of strategies together to form a baseline that works to keep both of you grounded. He don't want that. So if he can get in early, that's his goal. Because if I allow them to get a head start, then it's not going to prevail the way I want it to prevail. Hence why people, when you get saved, soon as you get saved, the enemy be like, not you turned your back on me. You know, if you ever pay attention to your track history, for real, if you real and raw with it, you know, like how I get up here and talk about, I used to be, you know, having sex and, you know, smoking weed and turning up, like all of this type of stuff. That don't make you a bad person. I mean, we just have bad habits that we did, you know what I mean? But if you go back and look at your track history, the devil was not bothering. Like, the devil was not bothering me, for real. He was not bothering me when I was one of his. He won't bother me because, like I say all the time on this podcast, I was already accounted for. He didn't really bother me like that when I was in culture. Yeah, things would happen and I'd be like, man, the devil busy, right? But all the time, I mean, he ain't busy. I'm already on his roster, you know what I mean? I won't pursuing Christ, so I was already on his roster. But he wasn't bothering me. But the moment I got saved, man, you got to go back some seasons ago, like when this podcast first started, for real, because season one, because the first 14 days, I was like, you got to be kidding me. This crazy. I don't know, God. I don't know if I can do it. Like the stuff that was happening, I was like, man, this crazy. But that's an example as well. The enemy might not bother you, but the moment you turn your back on him, oh, he is up. He on you like white on rice. And that's why you see a lot of people who come to Christ, they can't withstand the things that the enemy is doing to them. He's trying to torment them because not you made a decision that didn't include me. So he torments them to the point where they get so pressured and get so worn down, because it's hard being in Christ. It's hard carrying your cross. It's hard, for real. Like from day one, it's hard. And so here you are freshly in Christ, trying to change your ways, but also trying to come to terms that you struggle with a lot of stuff that you didn't even really want to accept that you struggle with. And still trying to convince yourself that even with all this baggage, God still loves me as I am. All while the devil is after you for the decision that you just made. You ain't even got it all together yet. You just said yes. You ain't even got it pieced together. And he already on you like this, like bad, 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 bad. They get so pressured down and they get so worn down and they get so overwhelmed that they fold. And they go back to what they know, because so much is happening. And so the enemy is after you, like early on, as soon as you make a decision that involves the kingdom of God, he's in it straight forward. He ain't taking no breaks. He all gas. And whatever he got to do until he succeeds at it, then that's what he's going to do. And so, you know, I've learned here on my own walk with Christ in this marriage too, how strategic the enemy is. And when he recognizes the power that one holds, he sits and strategizes, literally taking notes. Mind you, he done been taking notes. He really been taking notes. He been taking notes for me. He been taking notes for my husband. When he been doing that before we even met. He been doing that because, let's be real, when the enemy, I think a lot of us be thinking the devil dumb. No, he ain't. He ain't dumb. He real strategic. He real smart. He was in heaven. He got kicked out. He was there though. So I think a lot of us play naive to what the devil is capable of and how smart he really is, because, oh, he the devil, he not God, he can't do what God can do. He can't do what God can do, but he's smart. He's strategic. He know what he doing. He's a mastermind for sure. And I think we underestimate it because we just, you know, of course God reigns and God overpowers all. And, you know, God has the ability to, you know, sit the devil down and to destroy the devil and all that type of stuff, right? But the devil is very clever. He was in heaven. He saw all God was doing. He knew it. Why do you think he's so strategic with here on earth trying to win souls over? He was so strategic that angels left out of heaven to come with him. They was like, oh yeah, we're going to leave this. We're going with you. You left this land of paradise to follow somebody who will never give you anything close to this. So do you know how deceiving and how manipulative and all of that and strategic he was to convince them to leave something such as that, to follow him to a place where he would never be able to give them anything that God has given them? Very strategic, very smart. So he knows how God operates. He saw what God was doing. Hence why he always stays one step ahead of culture, right? The devil is not even on the trend that we on right now. He was already there before we got there. He stays ahead because he don't want to play catch up. Hence why I say he has to come on early so he can do what he need to do. We right here in culture, the enemy already on to the next thing. All we doing is playing in the things he has already prepared us for previously. Everything the enemy is doing right now, we ain't even got to yet. He just setting it up. And he's setting it up because he got to set his trap before we get there. That's just like a mouse. You don't set your trap when the mouse standing beside it. You put the trap before the mouse get there in hopes that you get the mouse. The trap is being set right now for the next thing, and we don't even know what the next thing is. That's why he does that, because he wants to get to the next generation. He has to stay with the trend to meet everybody's needs. He ain't thinking about us. He think about the ones after us. He thinking about generations. Think about if God is thinking about the same things, the enemy is too. God wants to bless our lineage. God wants us to be free from generational curses. The enemy wants you to stay in generational curses. He wants your family line to be cursed. So if that's the case, then it's not just you. He after the next group of people that's under you, the ones that ain't even been born yet. He is literally preparing and setting up stuff for everybody to fall victim to his traps. He that clever. He's not stupid. He ain't dumb. Now, he can be dumb to certain people depending on how rooted you are in Christ. So hence why you need discernment to be able to pick up on the strategies and the tactics, because if you don't believe the enemy is clever, you already two to 10 steps behind, for real. He's so strategic. So he has studied me as an individual. He saw me in culture. He knew. He said, oh, she ain't had no mama. Got that down. Oh, her mama was on drugs. Jot that down. Oh, she was a single mama at 16. Jot that down. Oh, she had mama issues. Jot that down. Oh, she used to love having sex. Jot that down. Oh, she used to let me manipulate her. Jot that down. Oh, she used to club. Jot that down. Take it. Oh, she cuss a lot. She a hothead. She got anger problems. He j- taking all these notes. Oh, she struggled with self-doubt. He taking all these notes, all of them. Whole time he over here taking notes for my husband too, while my husband living his life and ain't even met me. Taking notes, taking them down, jotting them down. So then God say, oh, I'm gonna put Samantha and Chris together. Oh, the enemy like, let me go pull their files. Let me study what God got up his sleeve. I'm gonna compare what they got together and see if I can come up with the strategy that God is trying to formulate by grouping both of them together. Let me pull both of their files and look at it. He start comparing and contrasting. He starts strategizing on what he can do to start manipulating the thing that God is trying to has set to be put together. He's looking at files, comparing, highlighting. Oh, I see a gateway here. Let me try this. I see this, that. Let me see this. Let me do that. Oh, they have this in common. Let me do that. That's what he's doing. He's very strategic. So here I am, you know, in a marriage where I was telling my husband this. I was trying to tell him. I said, the enemy is at the marriage. He's at the marriage. He don't want us to be one because he know what God is doing. And see, sometimes I think we fall victim and fall naive to what God is doing too, because we so surface level. We so surface level. Even myself, sometimes I be needing to see the thing that God wanting to do at the time that he wanting to do it. I need to see it before I can believe it's going to be this or be that. We so surface minded sometimes. We want to see everything at the time that God is doing it. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait to for God to fulfill everything, to bring it all around full circle. We need to know before we say yes. We need to know the fine print. We need to know all of that. So we be sitting here, you know, wanting to know all of that type of stuff. And I was telling my husband, I said, the enemy knows God is doing something good in our marriage. You know, I remember saying this, and I was saying, and he's after marriage, and you got to expect the enemy to, he don't play fair, okay? He don't play fair. He's not sparing nobody's feelings. He don't care how it make you feel. Whatever he can do, that's what he gonna do. And, you know, I was letting my husband, telling my husband, you know, the enemy don't want our marriage to work. He not gonna want us to work. And we could see, and this was before even events started happening that, you know, got as bad as they are right now, but this was like early on, because again, like I said in the previous podcast, me and my husband have not always been here. You know, we've been here for a good minute. Ooh. When I say and think about it, I'd be like, Lord Jesus God, we've been here for a long time, like a long time, longer than a year. And we've been married for almost 2 years coming up. But that's what I say. That's why I say what I say. The enemy don't waste no time. If he can get in early, that's what he's going to do. He don't waste no time. And so it ain't always been like this. And I was, you know, telling y'all that in the previous podcast, we were having these conversations because we were both on the same track. We both was on the same understanding. You know, we both were able to see things the way Christ needed us to see him at the time that we were seeing it. And, you know, I would tell him the enemy don't like this, especially when you recognize, when you recognize your calling as an individual, you got to understand that. And when you look at the other person too, you have to compare and contrast, and you have to say, oh, we have this in common. Oh, we have that in common. Me and my husband, we both headstrong, both of us. And when I say both of us going to do what we want to do, we're going to do what we want to do. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I mean it in very goal-driven, very, very ambitious, very headstrong about, you know, wanting to give this one chance at life the best that we got. Very headstrong with stuff like that. Easily not easily to get deterred and get deferred from the things that we have set to accomplish. So we definitely got that in common. The difference between that, our headstrongness is where the enemy came in at was the fact that with those goals and stuff, with us being headstrong like that, those are great characteristic things to have, and it is very necessary for our purpose, because God wants people who's going to aim to fulfill the mission that he has assigned them to. He wants you to be ambitious towards fulfilling the calling that he's assigned to your life. He wants you to, you know, not allow the storms to take you out, but to keep being persistent and to keep pushing forward, trusting and believing that you're going to get there. He does want that, but the enemy will come in and convince you that you should be chasing this and you should be chasing that. And so it causes confusion. And like I said, the enemy will come in early on and try to uproot what God has put together. And so we are very both headstrong, but I learned in this marriage that we are headstrong in the wrong ways. The enemy will convince my husband that, oh, you should be doing this, or you should be doing that, or she should be doing this, or she should be doing that. And so it causes him to question me, you know, it causes him to question me and what I got going on and what I'm doing. And it also causes conflict, because he feels I should be doing this, or he feels it should be doing that. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Because yes, I'm headstrong, but I'm headstrong on the things that God wants me to do, not at my own pace, not my preference. I want to be who God's called me to be. I want to do what God's called me to do, even if it takes me a little longer than I would have liked for it myself. Because at the end of the day, my goal is not my preference. My goal is Christ. And so the headstrongness was an area where the enemy came in and, you know, got in our marriage early on, because that was something he saw as a strategy. Oh, they both headstrong. Perfect. If I can get him to shift his perspective to believing what I can convince him of, they'll start clashing, because both of them are headstrong. They're both going to do what they want to do. And if I pull him this way, he's going to want to do things, you know, that involve him. And she's so stubborn, and because it's stubborn when you don't want to do what the enemy wants you to do. You'll be everything but a child of God. Whole time I'm really just staying planted where God has me, trusting and believing that I'm gonna get there. I know my potential. I know the work I've also been putting in with Christ. God gonna honor that, and God gonna see it, and he gonna reward me for it. But the enemy wants my husband to believe that that's not so. And so now it's, oh, she's stubborn. She this, she that, she blah, 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 blah. Whole time, that's not that. So with us both being headstrong, the enemy was like, oh, yeah, I can do that. And because my husband is career-driven, very career-driven, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, right? But it's not a bad thing to be career-driven, because I'm career-driven as well. My calling is, you know, my ministry, and, you know, I have plans for my massage practice again and all this type of stuff. I'm career-driven. I'm just not willing to allow myself to skip the necessary steps that God needs me to go through to get there any quicker, because I don't want to get there quicker, because the moment I get there any quicker, then that means I've avoided certain things that was going to be necessary for me to get, not necessarily for me to get where I'm going, but it's going to be essential for where I'm going. And when I get there, I'm going to be half equipped, where if I would have just stayed in the things that God needed me to stay in, going through each step that he had set up for me to go through, I would be fully equipped. So I am career driven, but I'm also process driven. I want my process to lead me there. I don't want to have to skip no steps if it's not steps that God will allow me to skip. And see, one thing I learned about the husband, not my husband, but the enemy is, he'll speed things up. You'll be praying for something out loud, and the enemy so strategic. He listening on your prayers. He know what you praying for. That's why when some of y'all be praying for a husband, you find the man come out the woodworks and convinces you that he your husband. Then when you marry him, you be like, I don't even. And he starts showing you who you are. He is, and you like, I don't even like him. I don't even know him. I don't know her. I don't even like her. But because the enemy sped up the thing you was praying for, we like microwavable blessings. Hence why fast food is a thing. People would rather go get fast food than to cook dinner at home. It's the quickness. It's the sense of urgency. Time running out. We got somewhere to be. We got to do this. We got to do that. We want the microwavable blessings. We don't want the ones that got to sit in the oven for 2 hours. We don't want to do that. So the enemy hears those things and he speeds it up and he gives you the thing that you was praying for. He just give it to you in a deceiving way. And you don't never see the deceit until you too deep in. And it's literally like a trap door. The door handle is there, and all of that. But when you get on the other side of the door, you realize there's no door handle on the other side. It's just a deadbolt, and the deadbolt is on the opposite side. But you be so willy-nilly to walk in that door because you so appeased at the things that God, that the enemy is presenting to you at the time, that you don't even use discernment to try to the process whether this from God or whether this from the enemy. And so you walk into that door not knowing it was a trap the whole time. And when you realize you walked into a trap door, and if you real enough to know you've ever walked into a trap door, because I have myself, you know it's easier to get in than it is to get out. It's not as easy getting out as it was to get in. And so the enemy will speed up stuff. And so the enemy hears my husband's frustrations with the process that God has me on. And so he has sped up some things in his life that don't even involve me. And see, that's the goal of the enemy too. The enemy will start doing things in your life, making you feel like you deserve this and you should do this and you should do that. Whole time, we are a union. And God be like, I don't move unions based off of one person. That's not how that works. But see, the enemy will get you so wrapped up in the things that he's speeding up for you that is so appealing, and you don't want to sit in the wait because you've waited long enough, you've been faithful long enough, you've been serving long enough, and I just can't wait no more. So this got to be from God. This got to be from God. And so you'll walk in it thinking it was from God, and you won't even want to use your discernment, because let's be honest, sometimes we don't use discernment because it's not that we don't want to hear what God says. It's not that we don't want to hear what God says. It's, I don't know if I can hear whether or not this ain't really God like I think it is. And I want it so bad that I don't even want to hear whether or not it ain't God. So I'm just going to allow my mind to believe it is God. A lot of people would be like, oh my God, I prayed and fasted for this and I ain't heard God. The whole time you heard God, you just didn't hear the answer you wanted to hear. So you've made up in your mind that you didn't hear God. Whole time you did hear God. But because he just didn't, you know, side with what you wanted to hear, you'll convince yourself, oh, God, I didn't hear from him. So I must be able to go and do it. Whole time, God like, okay, well, play silly you want to. You might be naive now, but you'll come to the reality of, oh, dang, that was a sign, or dang, that was God showing me this, or dang, that was God showing me that. But by that time, it'll be too late because you done made the decision. And so you're going to have to go through that process to get you back on track. Because if I don't teach you something through this, all you're going to do is do it again when the enemy presents you with something else again. And so my husband, the enemy knew that was a strategy. He knew that. And so he has now come giving my husband a blessing that don't even involve me. And because my husband wanted it so bad, he said he prayed and fasted about it. I know I did. I'm not saying I saw certain signs. I saw a lot of signs. But you can't convince somebody something. You can't convince somebody of something that they already got their mind made up on. It don't matter. You can use every word in the dictionary. If your heart is not open to receiving something that you don't want to hear, you will not allow yourself to hear it. And so I felt like in that moment of my life, I was like, it was nothing for me to do, you know? And I specifically asked my husband if he wasn't able to take the opportunity, did he feel like he was missing out on something? And he told me, yeah. And I don't want to withhold anybody from anything that they feel they want to do. So because I know who I am in Christ and because I know God ain't going to leave me nor forsake me and he ain't bring me this far to leave me here, even if you do go without me, I'll be okay. And so because I know I'll be okay, it might hurt, it might suck, but because I know I'll be okay at the end of the day, I'm not going to ask you to stay if your mind has already been made up for you to go. And because my husband is career driven, the enemy knew what area to target him in. He knew to give him a blessing that didn't involve me. He knew to give him a promotion where I couldn't go with him. He knew that. And that's why he gave it to him. And because he knew my husband works hard, I give my husband that. I say that at the end of the day. I tell my husband this. Everything we talk about on this podcast, my husband's very aware of. This ain't no secret. This ain't no tea. This ain't me talking about him. This is the real conversations that we have when we do have conversations. He know all this stuff. And I used to tell him, I used to say, you know, the career, like the him being career driven, it's not a problem. My husband is a man. I tell him that all the time. At the end of the day, even if we don't work, one thing I can't stand firmly on is my husband is a man. He takes care of his business. He takes care of his family. He gonna make sure the bills is paid. He gonna go to work early. He not one of them people that's on time. He 2-3 hours early. Okay. He's a man. At the end of the day, he is a man. And I would give him that. So, you know, I would tell him, you know, he's career driven and I understand that. And I respect that to the T. My husband works hard. He's a good worker. He does his job to the T. If anything, he overdoes his job. He's one of those people where if anybody need a promotion, he need a promotion and he need a raise. He excels thoroughly in his job. And that's because it's a part of his calling. God put him in that place because he knew he would excel there. And so I ain't trying to take away that. He deserves promotions. He deserves raises. But my biggest thing is if that is a gateway for the enemy to speed things up in your career, you need to use your discernment to discern whether or not it's from God or not. Because this opportunity presented itself and we know you wanted it. We know you wanted it. We know you deserved it. Nobody's saying that you don't deserve it. But sometimes the thing that the enemy is presenting to you looks so good and you don't even read the small print. Y'all know like when you buy a car, they tell you all this good stuff, but then all this fine small print at the bottom that you really need a magnifying glass to read, because if you don't, you ain't really going to know what you're getting yourself into until you get yourself into it and then you realize you then had to pay this amount of money and then they done charged on this and charged on that and you can't get out of it because you already signed the paper. It's like that. Sometimes the enemy will present something to you and you'll be so focused on the thing that you don't even read the small print. You don't even use discernment for real. You don't even really allow yourself to sit and take your emotions out of stuff to say, God, I know I deserve something like this, but God, I need to know if it's of you or not, because the enemy will speed it up and he'll make it so nice and pretty that when you get it, you'll be like, oh my God, it came at a cost that I didn't even know I paid. And I don't want to pay that. And it'd be too late. It'd be too late. You already locked in. You already at a fixed rate and you got to pay that because you didn't take the necessary steps that was needed for you to take before you signed yes, before you signed to pay that fee that you didn't know you had to pay. And so the enemy knew to use my husband in his career because he knew my husband deserved something new in his life. He knew my husband worked hard there. But the moment you latch on to what the enemy allows you to the moment you latch on to the thing that the enemy has presented with you, you now take yourself out of the place to receive the thing that God had been cooking for you up all along. And when you realize, and I say this for myself because I've missed out on so many blessings in my previous life that I don't want to miss out on anymore. If I got to sit and wait, I will sit and wait. I don't care how long it takes. If I have to sit and wait for what God has for me, I'm going to sit and wait because I know how many times I have uprooted myself by latching on to the thing that the enemy had for me because it was so appealing and so appeasing to the eye that in reality it was a trap to get me out of position to receiving the thing that God had cooked up all along. And God do nothing bad. Everything is good. So if God is slow cooking something, you know what it's like to cook a good meal that take a good little minute. If you cook it too fast, it's going to be raw. It's not going to be good, fully done. The potatoes might still be hard. You got to let it sit and cook for a while. But at the end, man, it's so rewarding. It's so satisfying. Same thing with God. And because I don't desire to miss what God has for me because I've missed enough, if it take me forever to wait, if it take me forever, I'm just going to have to sit here forever. I don't know nothing else. So the enemy knew to use my husband's career. And he used it because if I give her husband a blessing in his career, I've been hearing his prayers. He wants something new. He want more money. He want a more flexible schedule. So I'm going to give him something. I'm going to give it to him. But the price going to be she can't go with him. And my husband paid it. He took it, you know? And so that right there was the enemy doing what he do, because let no man separate what God has put together. And it's not just physically, right? But because the enemy knew me and my husband was already having problems, he knew what area to target to get my husband to fully detach himself. He blessed him in his career that didn't concern me, that I couldn't go, you know? And he knew the headspace me and my husband was already in, because me and my husband had previously talked about both of us divorcing and just going our separate ways. But then a few weeks later, my husband ended up coming back and saying he didn't really want to get a divorce. He wanted to take some time and really, like, you know, think about it. And we had this amazing heart-to-heart that we never had before in our life. And things had started to look up. Things started looking so good for about a month and a half. Yeah, about a month and two weeks. I looked on the calendar. It lasted about a month and 2 weeks. And then this job opportunity came. And my husband knew I couldn't go with him, but he also knew it was an opportunity that he wanted to pursue. So you stuck between a rock and a hard place. Do I not go and stay here? And I didn't want my husband to stay here because I knew he wanted it so bad that if he stayed here, he would resent me. And I've already lived through enough with him of resenting me in certain ways. So just go. I said, just go. I don't want to hold you back from anything. Go. Go ahead. If that's what you want to pursue, go ahead and do it. And the enemy knew that because his goal was to separate us, because we had already started going through emotional changes and emotional problems. But we had also came back to a common ground to where we had established some form of foundation that was going to help us rebuild the thing that had previously been torn down. And so the enemy saw that and was like, oh, they're trying to rekindle. They're trying to get it back right. Oh no, I got to do something real quick. I got to do something real quick. And that's what he did. He blessed my husband with an amazing promotion that my husband was deserving of, but it came at the expense that I couldn't go. And my husband was willing to go even if I couldn't go. And so it put us back in a space, a real bad space, because my husband wanted the opportunity and he wanted me, but he couldn't have his cake and eat it too. That's how another thing, you know, if things is of God and you got to use your discernment, because if God is doing things in a marriage in twos, he's not going to make one go somewhere that the other one cannot go. And it's not just a physical thing, right? It's not just saying physical, but that is emotional. That is spiritual. That is all of that stuff. Like, that doesn't, just because physically my husband went to where he had to go to do the thing that, you know, he had just assigned himself to, that doesn't mean it was just the physical aspect that was uprooted. I'm now here by myself with four young kids. I have no family where I stay. None. I have no family here. It's just me. I don't even have a friend here. Nobody. And so, you know, the enemy knew what he was doing. And so when my husband, that's what I was getting at. When you know it's of God, God won't make you choose like that. Literally at just the right time, the Lord God will make it right. He will make it right. It will make sense. The moment you have to start, God ain't gonna make you. God put you in some hard places. Don't get me wrong. But the covenant marriage, God will not put you somewhere for you to choose something other than your spouse, because it's literally God, your spouse, then kids, everything else. God, your spouse. It literally talked about in the Bible, like your parents, leave your parents and everything for your wife. Like the chain of command is God and then you and your spouse. So if the enemy puts you in a position for you to choose something so tough as that, and both of it can't go, that's not of God. Because with God, you can have your cake and eat it too. If you wait for the cake to fully bake, I'm telling you, you can have your cake and eat it too. If you just wait for the timing to be right, God will literally align it all for you so that everything that matters to you works out. That's why the Bible talks about, I will give you the desires of your heart in me. You have to remain in me for me to give you the desires of your heart. It's not necessarily saying what you want, right? But if you desire your marriage, if you desire structure, if you desire family dynamics, if you desire flexibility, you desire career, you desire all of that, I will give you all of that. You just got to stay with me. I'll give it to you at the right time, I promise. You just got to stay in me. And so, the enemy gave my husband a blessing in his career, and he knew I couldn't go. But my husband wanted it so bad that I saw the signs. I saw the signs, but like I said, if somebody's mind is already made up, you can't, you know? I knew he would resent me, and I knew I had already been through enough in this past seasons. Because like I said, we've been here for a long time. Our marriage been like this for a minute. And it's because the enemy's just been very strategic with the areas that he's been targeting. Because he was hoping it got to this point. And it worked. It worked. But, you know, I saw the signs. But I also was so certain of God and who God is and what God has saw me doing in my marriage and all of this, that even if it resulted to me being here like I am by myself right now, God hadn't forgotten about me. Like, yeah, you know, it sucked to know that I was in a position to where I had no choice but to be supportive of my husband going, because if not, I mean, what? He was going to stay here and resent me for it. I mean, I asked him if he stayed, would he be missing out on something? And he told me, yeah. So that gave me the answer that I needed right there. I didn't need to keep him here for me to know that things in our marriage was going to suck even more because I prohibited him from being able to go pursue something that he wanted to do. So I let him go in faith that I knew God would still see about me. God wouldn't forget about me. Even though my husband made that decision that didn't include me, God, you see the steps that I tried to take to keep this together, you know, like, and when you understand how union works, the Bible literally says you're a union, you're one. Both people come together and now you are one. God will do things individually, right? So me as Samantha, him as Christopher, we both have individual assignments that we've been assigned to in our life, which means if we was to never meet, if we had never met before now, if we had never met, we still had individual soul purposes because God created Samantha, God created Chris, right? But we became one. So marriage is ministry, bro. Marriage is an assignment. Your marriage is your assignment and your marriage is your ministry. Literally, like, this is the most sacrificial assignment you'll ever have in your life, marriage. You literally have to die to self. You have to die to your flesh. You have to die to all of that stuff to literally come to common grounds, to love each other as Christ loves you. Seriously, like, I never witnessed nothing like it. And I'm thankful to have gone through it because I didn't know all marriage consisted of, because again, that's not something you're going to know until you explore it yourself and experience it. But if you know how God works, you have soul purposes as individuals. I have a calling on my life. Chris has a calling on his life. God put us together. And so now this is an assignment for the two of us. We still have our own self assignments, but this is now an add-on, right? Hence, like, me being Samantha, I had kids, so now I'm a mother. That is something I have to steward well over because now it's a part of my assignment. But even if I was never a mother, even when my children get grown, I still have a soul assignment to fulfill, because when I get to the gate, God is going to say, Samantha, what did you do with the time that you had here on earth? What did you do with it? And I'm not going to be able to be like, well, all I was a mom. He's going to be like, well, no, you know, you were a mom, but you were Samantha before you became a mom. So what did you do with that? And you don't want to be able to say nothing, right? So even though our marriage is our ministry and it's our assignment now, we still have soul individual purposes that we have to fulfill. And mind you, if we don't fulfill those individual purposes and we don't fulfill those individual things that God is doing in us, because God is always going to be working on both of us individually. God will work on you and your spouse individually, teaching you what needs to be taught in this season. You both take the knowledge and the wisdom that you both have obtained individually. You come together and you share it, because what God might be doing with my husband, he might not be doing with me. But what God is doing in my husband, I will be able to learn from him, vice versa. We come together, we share what God is doing in each of us individually, but some way, somehow, it coheres together, because it's literally like you need two halves to make a whole. I need his knowledge, he need my knowledge, and we put it together, and it allows our unit to go to the next level. When you are in a marriage, God is not going to move one and not move the other. That's not how this works. God is not going to move you and not move the other person. So with that analogy, that's why you have to commit to the individual work that God is doing with you. Because if you do not commit to the individual work that God is doing with you, then it is going to prohibit the structure from moving to the next step, because God is not going to move you individually. He's going to move you together. So if one is learning and the other one is not, we both are delayed. We both won't be able to move to the next step because he's moving both of us as a unit. Hence, though, don't get me wrong when I say moving, you won't get to go to the next level. Don't take it as in God will hold up your blessings from certain things he wants you to receive. I wholeheartedly believe I wholeheartedly believe certain things will be tied up for the other person to not receive when one person is not committed to doing the work. There is things that God will still allow for the other person to receive even when the other person is not doing the work, but there is things that will not come because it needs to come when the unit is able to handle it together. So if one person is not doing the work in their individual teachings with God, it will hold up the entire unit from what God is trying to get both of us to receive. But that's why you got to be committed to learning what God is teaching you individually, because You don't know what you holding up for the other person. You don't know what you holding up for y'all together. You don't know the next level that God is trying to take you to, but you can't go to because one person is committed on a level that the other person is not. God moves you as a unit. That's why if you ever realize what God is doing in your life, if you that in tune with God, and I've heard other married people who are God ordained, married together, and their firm foundation is Christ, say this too. God will not do something with you that don't include the other person. And I say that to say, not literal, right? Like meaning like if God wants you to go start a basketball team, that don't mean I got to come help you start the basketball team. That's not what I'm saying. But he will keep you, he won't keep you out of the loop. At some point, he might not be telling you right now. If he's talking to your spouse right now, he might not tell you tomorrow. But before he makes that move for your spouse, you will be in the loop because, again, God is going to move you both together as a unit. So God might be doing something in my husband, and he might bring it to my attention. He might be like, you know, I feel real heavily like God calling me to, you know, go do this missionary trip. And I'm like, oh, my God, okay, cool. You know, like all this type of stuff or whatever the case may be. God might not reveal to me that that is something he wants to do with my husband maybe 2 months down the road. Before he does it, before he allows that thing to happen, he's going to put me in the loop some way, form, or fashion. Because he's not going to move one spouse without notifying the other one of what he is doing. Hence, in this season, that's why I asked my husband when we was going through all these things and when he was getting frustrated with me on my process, have you went and sought the Lord on my behalf and not for what you wanted to hear, but for what God wanted you to hear? Did you take it to God with, ask God what he's doing in me? You're frustrated with me, but if I'm on the path to following what God has instructed me to do in this season, I used to ask him, are you frustrated with me or are you frustrated with God? Because how are you frustrated with me if I'm doing the thing that God has called me to do in this season? How are you frustrated with me? And he would say, no, I'm not frustrated with God. Out of a natural response, a lot of people don't, you know, that's another day, but a lot of people don't like to say, I'm frustrated with God. When that's a real thing. God, I'm frustrated. God, I am. I'm not upset, but God, I'm disappointed that this marriage didn't work. I'm disappointed that you chose me to be in this position and to be in this predicament. I'm disappointed. That's real raw. That's real raw. That's authenticity. That's authenticity to be real and to talk about your emotions that come with that. But like I said, that's another topic. But God ain't moving one and not moving the other. God ain't doing something in the other one without telling the other person. You got to be committed to learning the things that God is teaching you in this season, because if not, not only are you delaying you, but you're delaying your unit from moving to the next step and from receiving what God wants it to receive. And so the enemy is at the marriages. He don't want it, because when he knows who you attach to, the Bible says he who finds a good wife obtains, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. When you realize God's so strategic with who he unites you with and who he puts you together with, trust me, especially that's why the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. You need to be around people who sharpen you. Because it ain't what you know, it's who you know. And if you know God and somebody else know God, you don't know what God will do for you just by being in close proximity with somebody. Favor jump from person to person. Favor be on somebody just because they in close proximity to you. And once you out of they path, the favor don't even hit the same no more. They don't even have it no more because the favor was with you. And it just radiated on them because you was in close proximity to them. That is how things work. Like, so if God was strategic with who he put you together with, certain things will start happening to you just by being in union with the other person. Things that you wouldn't even be receiving if you was by yourself, but because you are in union with the person that God has put you together with, because he's so strategic with what he's doing, you are now favorable to things that you were never favorable to. you are now experiencing things you would have never experienced. And the enemy knows that. He knows that. He knows that. He knows their quality of life is going to enhance. He knows if this couple becomes this power source the way God has intended for them to, people's marriages is going to be transformed. And that's not what I need right now. So I got to work overtime to make sure they don't reach their potential. Because if they reach their potential, things going to start shaking. And I'm going to start losing more folks. And I don't need that right now. I don't want people's marriages to start working. Because if God is doing something in each of our marriages, then not only is people going to start being free. And they don't want that. The devil don't want that. So he knows what the power source is and what potential and what magnitude that marriage is going to have on the kingdom of God. And so he does not want that to happen. So he's going to do anything and everything he can to destroy that. That's why you got to pick up on the tactics of the enemy. That's why you got to be okay with knowing what you struggle with, but also reminding yourself that that's a struggle for me. I expect the enemy to try me there. I expect the enemy to try to speed things up for me. I was just praying about this. But you got to take your emotions out of things. You got to use your discernment. You got to take your feelings out of stuff. And that will allow you to be able to see whether or not it's the enemy or whether it's God. And a lot of us missing it. And a lot of us are allowing the enemy to play in our marriages because we're missing the things that God wants us to pay attention to. And look at the enemy right now. The enemy probably so mad. That's another thing I love about me too is I live in authenticity, and I'm so raw and real and transparent. This ain't tea. I say it all the time. This is not tea. You're not drinking tea here on this podcast. You cannot drink something that I have poured. That tea is gossip. You can't gossip about something I'm telling you. I live in my truth every day. This ain't nothing you'll be able to throw in my face. You know, because I told you. The enemy thought this marriage not working was going to get me to be quiet. Oh, because her marriage ain't even last 2 years. Her marriage ain't last. She going to get up there and say, she told them people this was from God. She told them people she heard God's voice in this marriage, and look at it. She ain't gonna say that. She don't wanna look like that. She don't wanna look like this. She don't wanna look like that. So this marriage falling apart, my plan worked. She not gonna get up on that podcast and talk no more. Who? Child, please. Here I am. Hey. Hey, girl. Yes, I am. And that's why he's pissed. That's why he be so mad. He's so mad because he thought if he ruined the marriage that I wasn't going to get up here and talk about it. Whole time, God already knew what was going to happen, but God still was using it, and he wanted me to still be who I was and to still talk my way through it and to still live in my truth. If my marriage wouldn't have fell apart and I would have come to terms with it and be talking to y'all about it, other people wouldn't be able to apply this knowledge to their marriage for their marriage to be mended. People's marriages don't stay together because other people's marriages stay together. People's marriages stay together because other people's marriage fell apart for theirs to stay together. That's how it works. So the enemy thought he was going to get me to fold by, oh my God, she's already divorced. People are going to say this, people are going to say that. When it don't really make sense to me, because that's another thing I love about it too. When you start learning the tricks of the enemy and you start learning his strategies, you'd be like, boo, tomatoes, tomatoes, tomatoes. I expected you to do that. Duh, lame, loser. I expected that. I expected you to think that, oh, she not going to talk about this because people going to say this, people going to say that. But where you didn't use your brain was, this girl already don't care what people think about her. This is probably one of the most careless girls of, I don't care what people think about me. That was one of the things my husband used to admire about me. He used to say all the time, you live so free spirited. I wish I could be like that. You literally don't care what people think about you. You just live so free. I love your spirit. I love how free spirited you are. That's one of my pluses, but it, it's because God allowed me to get to this point because he knew it was going to be a necessity for me to operate in my purpose the way I am. I wouldn't be able to do this podcast if I cared about what people thought about me. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't be able to do this podcast if comments that people made me get offended or made me question who I was or my existence or what God's called me to do. I don't be caring about that stuff. That stuff do not bother me, honey. Literally, in one ear, out the other. It don't. That stuff don't bother me. When you know who you are and whose you are, none of that stuff don't apply. Most of the time, people be saying stuff because they don't know who they are. And so they projecting it onto you. And they just love to figure out what you be having going on and what issues you have, but never want to sit down and figure out their own. That's how that works. So the enemy thought he was going to get me to fold. It didn't work. And so now he's pissed because I'm up here talking about my marriage falling apart. And now, not only am I healing other marriages, but I'm preparing other people who are pursuing marriage as well. Maybe people who are engaged to somebody who they thought they liked. And they've been watching these episodes to say, I need to do a little bit more deeping, a little bit more diving, because it's deeper than that. And here I am with this surface level thinking, and I need to revisit some things before I get myself in a trap door that might be from the enemy when it looked like it's from God. He didn't want that. He thought I was going to sit and just cry and be like, oh, I'm going to just suffer in silence. I'm going to just stay. You know how many girls stay? You know how many women? How many men? Not even just women. It's men too. I'm not just a pro woman. No, I'm pro men too. I'm pro whatever God tell you to do, whether you're a man or a woman. You know what I mean? People settle in areas of their life that God is saying, just give that up. Surrender it. Give it to me. I don't know how this marriage is going to pan out. I don't know. I just know I want out. I don't know. I know God is funny. I do know that. And so I know sometimes God will let you feel your feels and in the end, he'll do something totally different. I don't know. I'm just living it one day by day, literally day by day. Taking it one day by day, fully surrendered it. I don't even think about it no more. I don't even care. God, whatever you do, I don't care. But if you could consider my feelings, I just want out. But the enemy is after marriages. He don't want you to be prepared. He don't want you to be equipped. If you already in it, I know he already on your neck, especially if you God ordained. If you're not God ordained, you already got 10,000 other problems, 10,000 other problems that God ordained marriages don't even got, right? Because that's a whole nother topic for another day. But the enemy is at the marriages and he don't want to do it because he knows God honors marriage and he knows two heads are better than one. And so when God put two heads together, they become this one power source and it is for a greater cause than just those two people. And when you are connected to people who are chosen, like myself, I know chosen, that's another episode as well that's coming up here soon or whatever. But I know chosen is an aesthetically thing. It's aesthetically pleasing. Everybody want to be chosen. Everybody, oh, I'm that chosen one. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. Everybody ain't. Trust me. Everybody is not chosen. The Bible says, many are called, few are chosen. Trust me. Trust me. So I know a lot of people be, you know, doing, oh, I'm chosen or I'm that one or whatever the case may be. But when you are with a chosen one, the enemy is after you 50,000 times harder. That's why my marriage is so hard, because God was so strategic with what he was doing in my marriage, because I'm a chosen one and he put me with my husband for a reason. But one thing about it is, things change. And I wanted to cover this before I'm like, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm so glad I remember that, because this was one of the points that I wanted to cover too before I got off. I heard God tell me that this was my husband before he even proposed. And I was like, no, God, no, it's not. This ain't my man. And I wasn't saying it in a bad way. I was just like, nah, like, that's not my man. I hear you, but like, mm-mm. And I remember like fasting and everything, because I'm like, I gotta make sure, like, I know how the devil do, and I'm not gonna do that. No. But I remember about 7 months before I met him, a lady prophesying over my life. And I talk about this on the podcast too. I forgot what season or whatever, but I was getting out of a relationship. I wasn't even out of the relationship for real. I was in the relationship and I just felt things starting to shift, but I was so new in Christ that I was like not really sure if it was me or if it was God. I wasn't able to pinpoint whether what I was feeling was my voice or God's voice. I was still learning because I had just gotten saved or whatever. So I was like, you know what? I heard the people in my Bible study talking about the Daniel's fast and stuff. And so I was like, I'm going to do the Daniel's fast. My Bible study group leader had told me how it had changed her life or whatever. And I was like, I'm going to do the Daniel's fast. And I'm going to, you know, fast about this because I need to know. And I fasted and I was like, God, I'm down for whatever answer you give me. I just need to know if this is my husband or not because I'm getting some mixed signals and I need to know. And it's so crazy because it wasn't that he was doing anything bad or that he was doing anything wrong. It was just when God is moving things out of your life, everything ain't going to wreck your life like that. Everything ain't going to hurt your feelings like that. Everything ain't going to be, you know, you being done wrong or nothing like that. You just got to pay attention to the small signs or you'll miss them. And so, you know, I did the Daniel's fast or whatever. And on the last day of the fast, a lady prophesied over my life and she told me that was my husband. That was the first thing out of her mouth. She said, I just want you to know God told me to tell you that's not your husband. And she told me, she said, but he did want me to tell you that he do got a husband for you. And he told me all these things about my husband or whatever. And at the time I hadn't met Chris. And so, you know, I was like geeked or whatever. But I also knew when she prophesied over that, I was like, instantly I got out of the relationship the next day. Like if I could have got out of the relationship that night, I would have. But I just didn't want to be mean and put him out because he was at my house and he lived a few hours away. So I didn't want to put him out. But the next morning, I was like, oh, yeah, we're done. And that was it. We ain't been together back since. But I also knew during that time it was about to be a long season of God, just me and God. And at first I was fearful because I had just lost my grandma. Well, I hadn't lost her at the time that she told me it wasn't my husband. I lost her literally a few weeks later. Sorry, y'all, I'm thirsty. I just lost my grandma. I was still in massage school. I was just new in Christ. I was like, man, I don't want to be by myself. I don't want to do this. But I just didn't want to miss what God was going to do in my life. So I just did it. I became celibate. I had locked in. And it was just me and God all the way up until I met my husband. Like, and it was so amazing because I always talk about that being the best time of my life because that was the moment that God, during that duration of time, God showed me who I truly was and he formed my identity and he allowed me to see my identity and he just showed me things about myself that I'll never forget and that I never knew about myself. And it was the most beautiful thing in the world. And so when the lady prophesied over my life and all this good stuff, you know, I wasn't focused on trying to find my husband or whatever, but not to get too in detail because like I told y'all, it's in my boot. Y'all just gonna have to wait. Okay, y'all. I know I'm in the works of getting it published, but y'all just gonna have to wait. At least it's written, okay? It's written, okay? I wrote 21 chapters, okay? Over 50,000 words. So, when I met him or whatever, I was like, you know, God showed me a lot of stuff, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to get too deep into it, but it got to this point where it's at right now. And I remember saying like, God, what in the world? Like, I know I heard your voice. I know you told me all these things, but what in the world? What in the world happened? Why would you put me here and you knew it was going to turn out like this? Like you know how many other scrubs is out here? That's girls. You could have put him with her. You could have put him with anybody else who was not going to be all these things. But God, you use me. Come on now. You know I ain't even like that. You know the things he's saying about me not even true. Like, that's not even true. You know my character. You know I would never do nothing like that. And I had to sit and I was like, God, I just don't understand. Like, you prophesied this over my life. What in the world? And I never got it until I got it. Prophecies can change. And I don't think people talk about this. I never heard somebody say a prophecy could change. I never heard of that. Prophecies can change and they can change because when you realize God is using a vessel to prophesy over your life by saying, hey, this is what I have for you. This is the life I'm trying to give you, but you gotta lock in and you gotta lock in and get serious and do what's necessary for you to get there. Because that's the only way it's gonna happen. Yes, I could prophesy this over your life all day, but if you don't take the initiative to do the work to get you to the prophecy is just a prophecy. It will never be fulfilled. And it hit me like a ton of bricks because I was like, oh my God, I never knew. As crazy as it sounds, I never knew prophecies could change. But it made sense. And I was like, I get it, because you know how many people prophesy over other people's life and they tell them all these things, but they never say, this only you can allow yourself to not get to the prophecy that God has for you. If God trying to give you these things, you have to be on the path with him for you to reach those things. Because if that's his will and he only gives you his will, then you ain't gonna be able to follow the other path and get all the things that God have for you, because it's two different roads, two different routes, and they don't cross paths, you know? And so I never heard of prophecies changes. And when I heard it, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, dang, that makes sense. Prophecies can change because you have to commit as an individual to doing the work that is required for you to get to the prophecy being fulfilled. If not, the prophecy is just a prophecy. And so I was like, oh my God, it's so crazy, because it makes sense now why the enemy was after my marriage, because he wanted us to do our own things that didn't necessarily lead us to the prophecy being fulfilled, but produced the fruit. And we get so blinded by fruit that we think fruit mean God. And when we sit and think about how fruit work and how trees work, even bad trees produce fruit, not just good trees. So, but we get so wrapped up in the things that we want to do that the enemy, certain things become easy to the enemy. And he does it because he don't want the prophecy to be fulfilled. So if you never lock in to doing the work that is required for you to reach that prophecy being fulfilled, you never fulfill it. And so I'm like, oh my God, I just never knew prophecies could change. But it makes sense, because you got to be willing to do what it takes for the prophecy to become a thing, right? And so I'm just here to tell you, marriage is hard work. It's very hard work, but it's rewarding. And it's been a beautiful thing to see, even with all the adversity I've had to go through. I've learned so many things about myself, and I've learned so much about marriage, that even if this one don't work out, I still desire marriage, because now I know what it takes to, I know what it takes to do marriage. And I know now biblically what all is important in marriage and what it takes to get it to the level that God desires for it to be at. And so if you do desire marriage and you are in a marriage, and maybe your marriage in a good place, in a bad place or whatever, I just pray that your foundation be Christ, because if your foundation is Christ, anything can be built upon that. And even if it falls back down to the ground, it can be rebuilt, because your foundation is Christ. It's just like a house. If the foundation is solid, the hurricane can come and blow the house down. But if the foundation was solid, it could still be rebuilt, you know. And if your baseline is Christ, even if you're going through troublesome times, and or even if you're going through something you don't even think you can get up out of, or something that look like it's no end in sight, trust and believe that God has the ability to restore, to rebuild, to do something new. He has the power to do all of those things, because if your foundation is Him, trust and believe, He'll give you the desires of your heart as long as you are in Him. And so I just wanted to get up here and talk about how the enemy was at the marriage, and how he is at the marriage, and how he desires for marriage to not be a thing, because he knows the power of covenant marriages, and because he don't desire to lose any more of his folks, he will try to sabotage God's plans by getting to your marriage early on, so that you never get to this point to where you fulfill the calling that God has on your marriage, so that other people don't get free, because his goal is to keep people in bondage and for them to miss out on the things that he has set for them to miss out on. So, like I said, this was the episode that's gonna come after this one, because it's already been shot, is the last episode, because I originally thought that was the last episode, and then I was like, oh my God, I forgot to talk about this. So I got up here, talked about it today, and I'm gonna push this one first and then save the one that I shot yesterday that was supposed to release today on next Sunday, and that will be the last one. And so I'm excited for all that is to come, and I talked a little bit more about it. I'm not gonna really go into depth here about the future things that's coming up on this podcast or whatever, because I talked about it on the one that will release after this one. So I'm just excited for all God is doing, and I just know things are looking up, and I'm so excited for all that I'm about to walk into. And I pray this season of your life is by far the best season of your life that you've ever encountered before, or maybe even encountered throughout this year. I know this year started off rocky and rough for a lot of us, but I'm decreeing and declaring that by the end of the year, lives are going to be changed, that you're not even going to look the way you looked 3 months ago, that your circumstances will never be your circumstances ever again, and that you will be walking in the things that you previously prayed for. So I'm excited for all that God is doing with me and with you as well. So it's time for bed, because it's a little late, but I wanted to get up here and talk to y'all and just chop it up with you and just let you know, God got you, and nothing will prevail that God doesn't want to prevail. So just trust that even when you're going through, that God got your best interest in mind. So this is your girl, Samantha, and until next time, be you, Black girl.